I'd like for us to think a little bit this afternoon about the truth. We hear expressions quite often, I'm thankful for the truth, or I love being in the truth, those kind of expressions. Well, I love the truth today. I pursue after the truth. I like to have truth in my life. I don't like fake things. I don't like false things. I don't like the pretense, the lie. I don't like those kind of things. I don't like being dealt that way. And I especially don't like them in me. There's a scripture that says about the heart of man being deceitful above all and desperately wicked. But then the expression is, who can know it? Who can get to the place that they can know that? And so I want to think about the truth a little bit, but especially in the realms of the truth about me. How it affects me. What is about me? It's hard to step back from ourselves to see ourselves. I think without the Lord, it's especially hard. I had an uncle that was an alcoholic, and he would get on drinking binges, and he would forget totally about eating. And he would forget totally about changing his socks and shoes. And he would get on such a drunk that he would leave his shoes on for a long period of time. And he ended up getting, well, it was similar, I guess, to what the Army did when they had wet feet and they had trench foot. And from not letting their feet air out for long periods of time. And he had a time with his feet because of that. And when his feet would get so bad that they would start actually stinking from the rot, not just stinking because feet stink, but feet stinking from and would get bad, well, then he would have to go into the hospital, and they would put him in there, and they would have to put him on antibiotics and do the normal things that they do. And I remember going to see my uncle one time after one of these times that he was put in there, and he would dry out somewhat, if you want to call it that, while he was in there because he couldn't get drink. And he was there. Well, I went to visit my uncle, and I went in and greeted my uncle and made a comment to my uncle. Sorry about your feet condition. And my uncle said, yeah, he said, I have a habit of wearing these old shoes made man-made materials, and they just kill my feet. It wasn't the man-made shoes that was killing his feet. It was a bad life habit that he had of drinking and not taking care of himself. And it was so amazing to me that he never acknowledged that, which was so obvious to everybody. It was obvious. The medical profession never said it was his shoes. Nobody ever assumed, but he had it down till it was his shoes that was causing him this problem, because it's really, really hard to see ourselves in and be able to admit, This is me. We may be able to say that somebody offended me, or somebody did something, or we may be able to say that somebody has some part in a part of my life. But you know, it's a pretty lame argument to say somebody made you act bad. It just don't work. It doesn't work. People shouldn't have that power over us. And to be able to say, to come to the acknowledgement of who I am and what I am, it's important to be able to deal with the Lord in honesty. And I think it's an honest prayer that the psalmist had when he said, "Search me, O Lord. Try my reins. Look into me and deal with me and see if there's any wicked way, because, be honest with you, I'm not able to see it for myself. I have to justify my own life in some way or shape or fortune." We need to love the truth about everything. The truth about God and God's creation. The truth about God's salvation and his church. The truth about what is it, the Christian debate, the idea of how successful we can be in this life, of what it means to be saved. We ought to want that truth. Yes. We ought to value that truth and seek for that truth and not try to shortchange it or do something. I want to tell you the bottom line for you today. If you love the truth, you can have the truth. But it takes a love of the truth, and you know, most of the time you can say that what you want to believe, you'll believe. And when there's enough reason for you to believe anything, you'll believe it. So if we want to believe the truth, then we can believe the truth. But if I want to believe I'm all right in my sins, I'll believe it. If I want to believe I'm all right in doing the things that I'm doing, going where I'm going, or watching, I've heard people justify some of the most ridiculous things. Yeah. And call it the truth. We live in a world to where it's being promoted a lot of, alternative lifestyles and those kind of things. Listen, I want to say right now, I love everybody. And I don't look away from anybody as being valuable. God said we're all valuable. Jesus died for everybody. But it's a ridiculous biblical argument to say that that's right. And it's not the truth. It's not the truth. And just because you feel it or think it or want it or need it or think it's something, it's still not the truth. There is a biblical truth that we have, and sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth cuts right directly against what I may want of my life. But it doesn't change anything. It's still a pursuit of the truth. If we don't love the truth and value the truth, we will lose the truth. And I want to tell you something. If we lose the truth, our children are most likely never to pick it back up. What we lose, they'll not gain back, generally. And you can see that. I won't give you scripture for that, but let me give you life's observation. Of those that one generation away from the truth, the children know almost nothing about it. I've seen it over and over and over again. Lord, help us to love the truth. God's truth. I want to start today with a scripture in John. John 14, I think is what I want. I'll start with the first verse. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know in the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, Jesus had come and lived among them. And this isn't by chance, it's the plan of God that the plan of salvation would be sealed by the life of Christ. Jesus gave his life on the cross, but his life is what we follow. When he come and said something, it's not just words. Jesus lived it. Jesus was here to do what he said. He came to bear witness of this truth. You remember when he was before Pilate and he told Pilate, this is what I came into the world to be king. This is what I came to bear witness to the truth. And Pilate said, a great question that's been answered by the great philosophers. What is truth? Jesus says to Thomas, how do we know the way? How do we know where to get where you're at, and how would we know how to get there? And Jesus says, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you ever want to wonder what a truth is, it's in Christ. It's in His life. He taught us the way. It's why it's a great discussion or argument, if you want to say, of whether we can live holy in this life or not. Of course we can. Because He made the way to do it. Jesus lived a holy life. He is the truth. How should I respond to people? The way Jesus responded to people. That's the way I should respond to people. The truth is in Christ. He died for us. He gave His life for us. But He also had a pattern of life that He lived, that we can look to and say, Lord, what would You do in this situation? How would You respond in this situation? Jesus said some hard things. Matthew 5. Go read it. Great challenging things to a person in the flesh. Things like, if a man smite thee on the cheek, turn to him also the other. Well, now, I was raised pretty good, but that's not the way Daddy taught me. Now, my daddy taught me not to ever cause trouble. And don't you ever be guilty of causing a fight. But when one comes, you give it all. You show them that it can't be. That's what I was taught to be. But Jesus didn't go down. See, that's the way my life would have run being taught. But there's something more that's not the truth. Jesus is the truth. You want to know what the truth? Jesus is the truth. And so we're challenged many times by what we should do or how we should act or what we should do. That he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might serve Him. What does it say? Without fear and righteousness and holiness before Him all the days of our life. What? Is that? Yes. Yes, folks. That's a truth. That we should serve Him without fear and holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That is a truth. If you want to know and you're not coming up to that and you say, I've never ever been able to come up to that and I'm still falling short in my life, that must be the truth. You know, we're not to measure what the Word of God is by our lives. We're to measure our lives by the Word of God. By the truth. This is the truth. I don't want to lose the truth. I don't want it to... I feel like... Of course, people are people, and the struggles of mankind will always be. But as we look back into what we would call our heritage, The faithful men and women that carried the truth in their lives to us, right? Those that went before us and that was faithful people that showed us how to live and how to die. And they carried that truth. Yeah, there were some of them that failed and rose again, and it will always be that way. Look back and say of the human failures, but look and see the people that carried this thing to us and lived faithfully with it and had the truth. I don't want to be guilty to be handed the baton, if you will, and stumble in it and lose it in my watch. I look at many times and say, I don't want to be dogmatic. I don't want to be a legalist. I don't want to be somebody that lives by some kind of straightness and straitjacket. I don't want to try to put that off on anybody else. But the flip side of that is I don't want to lose no truth either. I don't want to drop something in a liberal attitude of something that is valuable to us. That is a solid foundation for faith and life in God. I don't want to lose anything. So here we are with the truth. Lord, teach us in this our day the truth about ourselves, about God, about the plan of salvation, that we can hand the generation coming on, that we can hand them a good solid place, a good solid life, that they don't become hypocrites living in some kind. Do you know we can make hypocrites by insisting upon behaviors that a heart don't have? I don't want to be guilty of it. I want to be able to present something that is wanted, that is desired, that says that's beautiful, that's love. I want that, to incorporate that into my life. There's a passage of scripture in Isaiah I want to look at. The 64th chapter of Isaiah. I think the setting of this is the children of Israel were taken over by the Chaldeans and were overthrown. Their cities were burned. The temple was destroyed. And many of the people was carried into captivity. The Lord had prophesied of it because of their idolatry that He was going to allow this to happen. But it happens. And I believe this is the setting. We'll read the 9th verse. Be not wroth, very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee. We are all thy people. The holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Now, don't know that everybody in here, I have to look around to see, but it's kind of like this. We kind of, most everybody in here I think knows this, would agree, that we kind of hold our national camp meeting at Monarch. It's a special thing. I had the privilege of going there the first time in about 87. And I thought before I went that I found something that I thought was really amusing to me. That, because I come up with Brother Tony's children were kind of small at the time, or at least young. Chad was a little older, but they was young down, and the different ones there at Greenbank that were coming up to teenage years and young people. And when I first got saved, knowing nothing about this, I thought it was a very unique thing that when it come to this expression that I didn't know anything about, I heard this term monarch. And it stands for itself among us. When somebody says monarch, it means so much. You don't understand what I mean when the word monarch is said among us. And if you don't, I'm going to try to explain it a little bit. But before I do, I'm going to tell you that the young people in Green Bank at the time I first come along and heard this term of monarch, that when I was growing up, Christmas was like the best day. The first day of deer season, Christmas, those were the highlights of the year. Well, race all days among them, there was this monarch. Monarch was it. They, to say to them, you don't get to go to monarch, is meltdown time. I mean, it's emotional. I'm telling you, it's just, it is like with me, it was our Webster County Fair Day. It was Christmas. It was these days that you didn't ever want to miss. But with them, there was something that was so important. So important, so blessed. I want to tell you what it means to people, this idea of monarch. Monarch is many times the place where you find your lifelong one. Do you know what I'm saying? Young people, you have any idea what I'm saying? Monarch is like the place where all my friends will be. Monarch is like, to some of us, where the locusts are hollering, when the locusts are making their noises in the trees, stinging the trees and the branches like they do, and you mean that sound during altar calls. And the altar calls are about where loved ones find salvation. This is where we've met God. Monarch is where the collective voice of the people sings praises to God. This is where we come together. It's the most we can as a body of people to send God our honor. I'm not really that much of a things person or a person of necessarily of this. Well, I am kind of nostalgic in a way, but the old camp or the old tabernacle, it was concrete and old wood. And a little bit of shingles and metal stuck in different places with cables to try to hold it together. With old chairs that had been scratched on and dug at. I mean, with old benches and all the things that it does. And we loved it. Everybody, we loved it. But to some, it was, hang on to everything.
Yes.
It was important. Well, it wasn't. That wasn't that important to me. And my mind was always that there's change will happen and things will happen. But I understand the feelings of it. I really do. This is what this scripture is trying to say about a people that had a way of life. Their fathers worshipped and praised God there. They're pleasant things. When they needed something, you could go there and get it. This was where God Almighty was at. And when you had something that needed took care of, you could go here and do it. You could fulfill what life was about here. And they had a lineage of their fathers and their fathers' fathers and before them. And they sang the songs of Zion. Do you know what our songs mean to us in a collective voice? It means a lot, don't it? We sing together, and monarch is beautiful because of it. You know? It's beautiful because of it. And this is what they're talking about. This is where we heard the collective voice of the nation. And all of our hearts going together to God. This is where we made our sacrifice to God. And we got so many blessings and things out of it. And now it's gone. It's gone. What about if this year you would hear there will be no monarch meeting anymore? It's over. It's done. I think we'd all feel something. When we at least feel that, well, where are we going to do it at then? I mean, we have meetings here in Guthrie, but be honest with you, our brothers from California don't come that much here, and different ones across the nation don't come that much here, and the brethren across the world don't come here, and different ones that come here. So where are we going to do it at if it's lost? We would feel that. I'm convinced we would feel that, and the loss would be tremendous. If I'm not mistaken, the first meeting in the Monarch area, Brother Carl, was about 37. I think it was about 37. They started, ended up being growing and more and more and more. And now it's become such a fixture to our culture, to our way of living and all, that it's a very important part of our year, our time, to have that. But there's something more than that. It's the truth that we should love and want. It's Christ that makes the difference. If Monarch Springs is destroyed or goes, the truth ain't gone. The bind of our hearts is not gone. But there's something more than that that we can lose. Do you know we can set in Monarch and lose it? We can keep going and go to Monarch and lose the essence of what makes it important. That's the place, among others, but it's the place that I hope there's deliverance at our altars. I hope there's convictions in the Spirit. I hope the Lord, just by His Spirit, convicts of our lives, that we're willing to open ourselves and say, Lord, what is the truth concerning me? What is the truth? How should I be living? What should I be doing? And some of the challenging things. You know, a lot of us would just love for everything to be black and white. Thou shalt not and thou shalt. God went away, way, way beyond that and went into a superior way. And that is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Get a relationship with Him and get close enough to Him that He can lead you and guide you into
all truth.
Into all truth. And so instead of being dependent on it's good to look and see how people have done it before and those kind of things. And we have guidelines in those kind of things. But you know, there's nothing at all wrong and everything right about saying, Lord, give me a conviction. Help me to know how You want me to walk and what the truth is. We'll narrow the truth down sometimes, Lord help us, but we'll narrow the truth down to our American culture. Folks, listen. The truth isn't stuck in the American culture. It's a worldwide truth. It applies to everybody and their garb.
Yes.
And the way they do things. And the differences that they have. The truth is superior. All of those things. It's not stuck in the American culture.
Amen.
But we're stuck in the American culture, so we want to do the best in the American culture. But let's not narrow ourselves down and label the truth as something it isn't. Because it's a truth. It is a truth. I don't want to lose the valuable things that are true. Imagine this at the next Monarch meeting. Imagine the whole podium area full of drums and instruments. Maybe a big screen deal behind there. We got we got musicians of all kind. We're gonna whip everything up. We're gonna do away with the plainness of life. Imagine a Monarch scene like that. I actually had kind of a dream one time. In my dream, I was at Monarch, the old tabernacle. And in my dream, I don't remember if I got up to preach or I just seen the scene. I got up and I looked at the people and it wasn't the saints anymore. I looked and it was the world. You know what I'm saying? The dangling of piercing, the dangling of jewelry, I looked and I said, what's this? What is this? We have to value the truth. The truth. The world attacks it. The devil hates it. But God hates every false way. The scripture says, every false way. What's that leave him with? What's that leave God with if all the false ways are hated? The truth. What's left is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You follow anything, follow me and you'll follow the truth. You want to know how to treat your neighbor? What did I teach you to do? You say, what's the truth? I don't know how my neighbor's been giving me trouble. I don't know how to do my neighbor. Somebody come along and said, what's the great commandments? What do you think? Love the Lord with all your heart, and your neighbor is yourself. But who's your neighbor? Uh-oh, here's a question. Jesus told us who our neighbor is. You want to know how to treat your neighbor? You want to know the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. I embody it. I totally never went outside of it. You want to know the truth in life? Follow me. I'll take you right into the truth. And you'll say, well, I can't do that. These people are I got these enemies. And Jesus is going to come along and say, you want to know what the truth is? How should I think about my enemies? I should do something to get rid of them. I mean, that's the way the world's going to say it. But what did Jesus say about our enemies? But I say unto you, love your enemies. Well, Lord, I want to know the truth.
Teach us, Lord.
I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. We can hold the exterior. We can build a new tabernacle for Monarch. We can build another dining hall. We can build other things. I'm not saying that it is. I think the greatest shame of it all, I would rather sit without a roof over our head, out on the lawn there, and worship like that in the truth than have all the fixtures. We can't lose the truth. It's too valuable to us as a people. Things will come, things can go. But Lord, help us to love the truth. The truth about everything. Lord comes along and teaches us the truth about everything. You can find it in the scriptures. I had a guy one time. I was in a meeting, and he came. I never met him before, so he was stranger to me to this point. And then I met him, and he says to me, "He said, hey, Brother Marty." A couple nights into the meeting, Brother Marty, he said, "I'd like to take you out to eat. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit." And of course, immediately I said, that's fine. What he got in mind? And he said, tomorrow, okay. And I said, yeah, what, noon? Fine. Yeah, fine. Big fine. So then he hands me a 2-page letter type thing. And he reaches it to me and said, well, if you don't mind, read this and then we'll talk about it tomorrow. And I said, okay. And so I did that. I read that. It did not have the name of the author on it, nothing like that. It was just a almost an opinion piece. And so I read the opinion piece, and immediately I had an opinion about the opinion. But anyway, we're eating and talking, and then finally, in a kind of an abruption of what this is all about, anyway, he says to me, he said, oh, Brother Marty, did you have a chance to read what I gave you? And I said, yes, I did. I sure did. And he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, the first question I'd have about that is who wrote it? And he kind of, I did. And I said, I kind of thought you did, but it was all about how you would be justified to get rid of your wife and get another one. Basically, the wife was in a situation like that, how you would be justified to have another one. And so I said, in conclusion to that, without ever knowing the man, I said, well, I can conclude this, that you wrote it, and I can conclude this, that you either are wanting to get, either got you another wife or you're wanting one. And he again said, well, yeah, you're right. And I said, well, now how did I know that? Huh? Well, I'll tell you how I know that. You'll believe what you want to believe. Be very careful about this. Because if you love the truth more than anything else, you can have it. But if you don't love the truth and something else challenges that, you'll believe something other than the truth. It is the way to be deceived, folks. The way to be deceived is not to love the truth. When somebody doesn't love the truth, they are a candidate for deception every time. And the Scripture says, because they had not a love for the truth, what happened to them? You remember the Scripture? Because they had not a love for the truth, they were sent a lie. And believing the lie, they were damned. Because they didn't believe the truth. They wasn't willing to accept the truth. So therefore, the lie was sent to them that they wanted. You want a lie? Oh, devil's got a lie for you. The Lord will have the lie there. If you want a lie more than the truth, you can have it. Lord, help us to love the truth about everything. There'll be times that it's going to be hard. There's going to be times that the truth will cut right across you. You'll be wanting one thing or to do something, and the truth will be something totally different than that. We've had a stand, and rightly so, that we should not put our eyes on any ungodly thing. We shouldn't support the ones that do it either. But if you get to wanting to do it, you'll make an exception for why you can. But what is the truth? Should you do it? Is it acceptable? Well, Lord, help us. Our holy and our beautiful house. Oh, what they looked at. Our beautiful way. The things that we're not going to be able to do it. We can't. It's going to be hard to sing anymore with it gone. It's going to, all this is hard. We have it. There's no musical instruments up here. It's not because nobody can play one, folks. It's not that there's not talent for it. It's that we're seeking for the truth about how to worship the Lord. That's what it is. And there's scriptures that talk to us about that. The woman that said, how do we worship? Do we worship in the mountains? Or do we worship in Jerusalem? You say in Jerusalem, we say in the mountains. Lord, how do we worship? And the Lord clarified it. He clarified it. He said, God is spirit. And He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. There is no cord of truth. There is no seize the spirit one. There's no instrument that can hold it. There is a heart that can. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And the Lord seeks the ones that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's a lot more to it, of course, than that. But you can't worship God with men's hands. You got to worship Him with your heart and with all your heart. So I say this. Can you sing the song? Can you sing the song out of habit? Can you sing the song and get through with it and realize that you never paid any attention to the words. That you never paid attention to. You know, we're, as a body of people, we're very particular about what the words of a song are. There is songs that we will not incorporate into our worship service because we got to worship the Lord in truth. And if it's not the truth, it isn't acceptable. And we're very particular about those kind of things. Is it possible that a congregation of people can get habited in the way they do it and not give it a heartfelt? Not give it your heart when you're doing it? Not mean it? Of course we can. And I assure you we're guilty of it. I assure you that many, we've been guilty of the repetition of the repetition. We know how to sing it and we sing it and it means nothing more than us doing it. But we're supposed to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We come to worship the Lord, it's to be in spirit and in truth. Jesus taught us how to do that. He taught us. You want to wonder about prayer? Jesus taught us how to do it. I am the way, he said. I am the way. If you'll follow me, that's the truth. Okay, there's another scripture I want to look at. Psalms. Lord, help us to hold the truth that we can hand to our children. That we can hand it one more time to a people that is, this is the life, this is the truth. This is what blesses. I want to look at a scripture in Psalms. Oh, let's see. Psalms 9. It says in the 17th verse, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. And I guess at this day and time of in my life, I born in 1962, and coming up through that era, it surely was much ungodliness in much of that era. But boy, has it skyrocketed. And boy, is people going further and further. And how blatant people are willing to run down the holy. Run down the good things. This says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. And I'm interested in that forgetting God part. And that going away from God part. That's a going away from the truth is what that is. God made male and female, made he them. And that ain't never going to change. There is actually a push, if you can believe this, and it doesn't make sense to me because simple biology is being thrown away to do it. But they are actually suggesting now that they're not even going to put on a birth certificate whether someone is a male or female and going to let them choose themselves. I tell you, talk about being concerned about the truth. When a people can go so far to actually say something and promote something so absurd as something like that, it has to be the influence of Satan. It has to be the devil's work to be so blatant to throw. To himself at the truth. The truth is being attacked. And if you want to see what the devil really wants to do, you can go back to the first chapter of Genesis and what God did through creation and through the life of Adam and Eve. And you'll find out that just about everything, when God done something, the devil today is trying to undo it. He made them male and female, and the devil is trying to convince the populace there's no such thing.
Lord.
When Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord came and clothed them. And the devil laughs at that and says, unclothe yourself. It means nothing. What God had done in the beginning, they tried to undo. The value of human life was expressed in the first chapter of Genesis, in the creation. He made everything good, but a man he made was very good. And now that's being diminished down to worthless tissue.
Lord, have mercy.
And it's not the truth. And life does so begin at conception. John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb when Jesus came by. I think one of the prophets, it was said, was known in his mother's womb. You can't tell me that. It's not true. I'll tell you something else too. As long as the world stands, there's going to be seed time and harvest. Because the Lord said there was going to be. That's the truth. There is a truth that goes through that. And this says that everyone, all nations that forget God, that forget God is the Creator, that we have a God to answer to, that we as a nation ought to be a righteous nation because there's a righteous God watching over us.
Yes.
And we ought to do right to all of our people. And we ought to be considerate. All the leaders of this land, the leaders that have been put into that kind of place, don't realize today that they, by God, by the Lord's hand, have been allowed to be in a place of responsibility, and they're going to give an account for their responsibilities. I don't have to give account for being president, because I'm never going to be that. But if he's been president, he's going to give an account for everything he signed. Everything he done as any kind of an action, whether it was good for the souls of men or bad. He'll give an account because he stood in a responsible position. And God took credit for it. Said, I set the kings of the earth. Daniel said to the king, you're in God's hands. Your life is in his hands. He put you to be king. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to be king. He allowed the rest to be king. He allows our presidents and the rulers of this land, and they're going to be responsible. And more than that, the people is going to be responsible for the place that they're in too. And we're responsible for the church. We're going to be responsible for the place we've been in. You know, we of all people are in a time, if you want to look at it historically, we're in a time unlike almost any before us. Because you want to read what some spiritual man wrote, you can find it. We live in a time that if you want a Bible, you can get one. There has been people in this world that couldn't hardly get the Word of God. It had to be secondhand. Or sometimes only one person had a Bible. Bibles were rare and valuable. We live in a time that you can get the Word of God and translate it any way, this way, that way. You can get all the people that wrote about it and points of view, and you can go back and if you don't understand Hebrew or Greek, you can go see what it means, and the information is out there if you want to study, and the Spirit of the Lord working on you. He's given us all of it. What kind of responsibility then do we have? We live in a country unlike a lot even to this day. There's places across the world that they fear to say the name of Jesus. You're going to have to be pretty bold too. And we don't say the name of Jesus and we can say it anywhere and shout it as loud as we want to. Lord, help us. We're going to be responsible for all those things too. The truth. Oh, thank God for the truth. The way it really is. I want to know it just the way it is. I've said this before. I don't set my clock off. My watch, well, it runs a little fast, this watch does. And it doesn't reset automatically. But my atomic clock at the house does. It gets a signal from Colorado, and it's set like to a billionth of a second. Them things, and it'll ping it so many times a day to keep it on time. And it's down. That thing is right down time, and I set my watch to it. And as close as I can get to it is where I like to watch that and watch it turn. I got a second hand too. Ting, 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 ting. Oh, I'm just a second off. A half a second off. His watch is on time. Because I want the truth. Don't come and tell me it's another time. I don't need it. Well, actually, this is the wrong time for Oklahoma. This is West Virginia time, 4:24. I don't want the scales to lie to me because I want the truth. Now listen, folks. There's something important about it. One of these days, or one of these times, in the existence of our lives, we're going to have to stand before the Almighty. And it's better to deal with the truth now. Some men's sins go before Him, the Scripture says. Some men's sins will come after. But we're all going to deal with... Do you know we're all going to deal with the truth one of these days? The Scripture says that every knee shall bow. You bow your knee willingly? We will, won't we? You know, that's the hard thing. We'll bow to the Lord. But the Scripture says every knee is going to bow. Those gainsayers, those atheists, those people that fight against the Lord, do you know their knees will bow? Yeah. Scripture says their knees are going to bow. And their tongues are going to confess something too.
Yes.
They're going to confess, every one of them that denied this is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
Right.
You know that's a truth? Do you know there's a truth that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? The Scripture talks pretty extensively, about hell. There is a hell. I don't know what it all means in spiritual terms. I don't know what all heaven is either. But there's a place of the redeemed, and there's a place of the damned. And it all has to do with the truth. One's going to be where the truthful goes, one's going to be where the lie goes. Who is it that's going to inherit the lake of fire, bro, Carl? The liar. Those that's not true. Want to look at another scripture over in Hebrews. Oh, we should love the truth. I think something was said about the truth would set you free. There's something valuable about the truth. Hebrews, the second chapter. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And, you know, that's what I'm thinking about. That we should give the more earnest heed to those things, lest they slip. Do you know that in the course of life, many times, the things that we've held dear and convictions can get weakened, and they can become not as important, and after a while they can slip and not be important at all. After a while, things that we would really hold can be taken away. We're to be a holy people. We live in a time of gadgets. And the gadgets have access to all the world, both good and bad. Nobody can monitor you anymore. Nobody can know anymore. When I first stood right here in this pulpit, I guarantee you that was nobody had internet access setting in here. Now you can have. We're in a changing world and we can't stop that. Neither should we try. But we're going to have to live the truth in it. And the truth of it is, there's a lot of filthiness out there that we better not be a part of. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I will set no evil thing before my eye. Yeah, that particularly was talking about idols. But it applies to all of it. There's more than enough scripture. That's the truth. It will corrupt you. Evil communications corrupt good manners? It just does. It corrupts your heart. It changes you. The truth is you leave it alone. Lest we let these things slip, let's take the more earnest heed to the things that we heard. What we need to do is to be diligent in our service to God. The scripture teaches us that whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. We ought to be, all of our life ought to be dedicated to the glory of God. Why don't I do this? Why don't I sue my brother, one scripture says? Why would you rather not suffer it than to bring a reproach on the cause or on the truth? You should be more willing to suffer it than to bring a reproach upon the good things of God, because do all to the glory of God. When you eat, eat to the glory of God. When you drink, where you go, what you say, how you do it, let it be to the glory of God, that it lifts up our God. That we're holy and righteous people doing right things, enjoying life, our families, and do it all to the glory of God, that Christ might be lifted up and people can see that God has made a difference in their lives. That's why they can enjoy themselves. That's why they're stuck together. That's why they're a good unit. That's why, do it to the glory of God. Don't ever be willing to give it up. That's the truth. That's the truth. Do it to the glory of God. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, listen, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was conferred unto us by them that heard them? How shall we hope to escape if we neglect? And Lord help us. Neglect is one of the... Well, you know, really, neglecting Christ is the ultimate sin. It is the beginning of all transgressions. I mean, you think about it. No one cheats on his wife until he neglects Christ. He neglected Christ before he did that, I'll tell you that. All the things you're not become a drug addict until you've neglected Christ. You don't do the things of the world till you neglect Christ. How shall we hope to escape if we neglect this great salvation that's brought to us? This is the truth. The only deliverance there is to the soul is in Christ. The only eternity there is bought by Christ. The only hope we have in our lives isn't that I have arrived to some kind of a place, but it's that I've arrived in Christ. He's the one that makes the difference. The truth is that unless we're hooked to Christ, we're nothing. If He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and without me ye can do nothing. That's the truth. The truth is that us and our human abilities, all that we think we are and can accomplish, we're nothing if we're not hooked to Him. And that's the truth. And we need to hold to this truth. I've been taught ever since I started ministering that any minister worth his salt leads people to Christ, and that's it. Don't come ask me whether you should move somewhere. I don't know. I've had people come and say, what do you think about this situation? And I'd say, I don't know. I ain't prayed about it. I'm no guru or no seer or nothing. I don't see anything except what Christ gives me. And what I point people is you want to know whether to move or not? Go ask the one that knows. Get a relationship with Him that you can feel the moving of His Spirit. Because, be honest with you, you ain't getting nothing if you have to ask me anything. I can give you pretty good counsel on how it worked in my life. Well, I can't tell you what to do because I don't know. And I'll tell you something else. Ain't no minister or other minister around here knows either. It's the Lord that we seek. It's the Lord that leads us in our lives and tells us. And that's the truth. And the religions that pump up a man to be followed are bad ones. That's not the truth. The truth is that Christ in our lives is what salvation's all about. And as in the individuals, that's why the minister gets up here and you all put your attention on us and you listen to us, and then we sit down no different than anybody else. And that's right. That's the truth. Honor for their work's sake, and just like everybody else. And you know what? Actually, maybe even a little less, because the scripture says that they would be great must be least. You become the servants of all. And that's the truth. Ain't none of us ministers striving for no big high-rise building, penthouse, and all of the big car. No, just servants of the Lord. Yes. And that's the truth. And that's where the truth has to be. So the Lord has these truths. Lord, help us to love the truth. Me and Brother Philip was talking today a day about money and riches and stuff, and we both concluded the same thing. Don't want to be rich. Don't want the snare. I can say honestly to you, my life is good. Yes. I am blessed by the Lord. We talk about it all the time. You do it your way, but we talk about it. My wife and I talk about it a lot. We don't even have the internet in our house. And I'm not condemning it. I'm just telling you, we've got a pattern of life in our house to where we get along and we do things and we have a certain time that we read, we do our things, and that would interrupt us, and we know it would. And we know how we would strive to have to do what we would do with it. And so we keep it out. And we do it because we value something more than that. And we don't want to alter. There may be a come time that we'll feel like that it's more useful, but at this point, with our children and all that, we would rather leave it at a distant place to go get than to have it there all the time. And we just don't do it. And I want the truth. You know what? I told my wife one time, I said, yeah, you know what? If I did, I'd probably be consumed. But not necessarily with bad. You mean consumed with things, it's okay. But be consumed. Lord, help us to know. In this our time, you're probably going to hear preachers laying lines down. You're going to have the Lord draw them for your own lives. We just don't know how. Lord, teach us how to do it in this era, in this time, to be a holy, godly, righteous people that love the truth and seek the truth and have the truth in our lives without compromising anything for the generations to come, and yet be free. Understand me? And yet be free to live in this world, to be free to move and do that as the Lord does, and be a free people at the same time, not bound up that we can't function. The Lord help us, though, to love the truth. The truth is very valuable today. I hope the Lord helps us to have a real desire in our hearts for the Lord to uncover me and show me the truth of my life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.